name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My adorable Jesus, may our feet journey together. May our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. Make our thoughts be as one. Make our ears listen to the silence together. Make our glances profoundly penetrate each other. Make our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Today we will continue with volume 23. Our passage for today is October 23rd, 1927. And the title of this passage is The Little Girl, How the Divine Will is Kingdom of Life, Necessity of the Knowledge About It, How Heaven and Earth are Reverently Listening to the Knowledge of the Divine Fiat, Love and Tenderness of God in Creating Men. Luisa Picaretta writes, I felt my poor mind sunken inside the divine fiat, and while continuing my acts in it, I saw a little girl before me, all timid and pale, as if she was afraid of walking within the immensity of the light of the divine volition. And my adorable Jesus came out from within my interior, and filling his holy hands with light, he placed that light in my mouth, in the mouth of the little girl, wanting to drown her with light. Then he took more light and placed it in the eyes, in the ears, in the heart, in the hands and feet of that tiny little one. And she remained invested by the light. She blushed all over and remained as though hampered and overwhelmed within that light. Jesus amused himself in drawing her with light and delighted in seeing her hampered within it. And turning to me, he told me, my little daughter, this little girl is the image of your soul. Timid in receiving the light and the knowledge of my divine will. But I will down you with so much light that you may lose what remains in the timidity of the human will. Because in mine, there is not this weaknesses, but courage and strength, divine, insurmountable, and invincible in order to form the kingdom of my fiat in the soul. I lay all the knowledge about it within her as the foundation, and then I take possession, laying my very life within her in order to have my true kingdom. Let's stop here for a little bit and let us see what this passage is telling us. First of all, we know that Luisa Picaretta is doing the rounds here. She is following the acts of the divine will. And then as she sees this vision, as she has this vision of this little girl that the Lord tells her, this little girl is her soul, is the image of her soul, And the Lord Jesus fills this soul with so much light. And she describes here how our Lord Jesus placed the light in the eyes, in the ears, in the heart, in the hands, in the feet of that little girl. So she remains overwhelmed with this light. We know that God is light. And many times our Lord Jesus uses the image of the sun to explain the divine will, to explain that God himself is light. And as this little girl is the soul of Luisa Picarreta, and the Lord fills this soul with so much knowledge, with so much understanding of this divine science of what the divine will is. As he tells in this passage, that in his divine will, there is courage, strength, all these attributes that exist in God. And one important thing here that he tells us is that he lays the foundations in the soul. And these foundations is the knowledge of the kingdom of the divine will. So he talks about knowledge, about basically the necessity. Later on we will hear, but knowledge, if knowledge is the foundation that he places in the soul, to know the gift, to be able to know it, to be able to love it, so that we may possess it. We cannot love what we do not know. So it makes sense that our Lord uses the knowledge of the kingdom of the divine will to cause in us to love it, so that we may possess it, so that we may arrive to the possession of this great gift of living in his will, or possessing his will operating in us. The will of God operating in the creature as it operates in the Blessed Mothers, in by grace, in our Lord Jesus by nature, and in Adam and Eve as a gift that the Lord gave, that God gave to them as he created them. And this gift, with the operation of this gift, God was receiving, it was through the operation of this gift in them that God was receiving perfect love, perfect glory, perfect honor and adoration on the creature that he created. And by receiving this, he was receiving all his glory. And man was just in his sight. He was given to God what belonged to God. And what belonged to God is perfect glory, perfect honor, perfect adoration. So the knowledge is very important for us, to have knowledge of this divine science, and to know that it is possible for all of us to have this gift operating in us. You know, in the Gospels, many times the Lord begins preaching, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like so and so. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who went and found a pearl. The kingdom of God is like a father. The kingdom of God is like a farm who found a treasure. He went and he sold everything and he bought that field. And something that is very interesting in the Gospels is that none of the people, they say, Lord, take me to that kingdom. They hear what the Lord Jesus says, but the Gospels, they don't tell us of anybody who says, Lord, take me to that kingdom. There is only one occasion in the Gospel of John, the woman at the well, when the woman tells our Lord Jesus, give me of that water. When the Lord Jesus says, in these waters that I will give you, it will cause in you rivers of eternal life. And the woman answers and says, give me of that water. In the Gospels, when he talks about the kingdom, we don't hear anybody saying, Lord, take me to that kingdom. We hear at the foot of the cross, we hear that on the cross, the repentant thief, he tells Jesus, remember me. At that moment, he wants to go to the kingdom. And he asks, and the Lord immediately he answers, today you will be with me in paradise. He answers. In that particular passage, a particular scene of the life of our Lord Jesus, scripture becomes alive and is fulfilled what the Lord Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. The repentant thief asks to be taken into the kingdom, and the Lord Jesus immediately, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in that kingdom. We have this private revelation given to the servant of God, Lisa Picaretta, that tells us about the divine will operating in us, basically to possess the kingdom within us, the kingdom operating in us. And we should be like the repentant thief, asking for that to be given to us. But in order for us to receive it, basically what the Lord Jesus is telling us in this passage is that we have to have the knowledge. We have to have the knowledge. I want to go to volume 36, June 12, 1938. I want to read a little passage that it will help us to understand this passage from October 23rd, 1927. Now, you must know that every knowledge I manifest and every act down in my will with a cortege of the knowledge I have manifested is a divine seed that the soul acquires. This seed will produce new divine science. And oh, how she will be able to speak the language of her creator. Each truth will be a new celestial language, which will have the virtue of making itself understood by those who listen to it and want to receive this divine seed. This seed will produce new life of sanctity, new love, new goodness, new joys, and happiness. This seed or my truth will be as many divine properties that the soul will acquire. Beautiful passage from volume 36. What our Lord Jesus is telling us here is that knowledge, he says that the knowledge is very important, and when we do acts with the knowledge, since when the soul has the knowledge of the divine will, of the book of heaven, let's say, and the soul operates in this way, producing acts, it says, the soul acquires, produces new divine science. And this will produce, this acts done with the knowledge of the divine will. It will produce new sanctity, new love, new goodness, new joys and happiness. So it is very important to have that knowledge. And this is what we see in this passage, that the Lord Jesus is laying the foundations in the soul of Luisa Picaretta, and he allows her to see this, basically to see her soul as a little girl. And the Lord laying the foundations of the knowledge of the divine will, laying the foundations for her to enlighten her soul in that way of operating. So for us that we studied the Book of Heaven, knowledge is very, very important, to read the Book of Heaven and to know the gift, so that by knowing it, we may love it, and by loving it, we may arrive to the possession in our souls, so this gift can be operating in us. So he's laying the foundation, he says, of his very life in order to have his kingdom, the kingdom of his divine will in each one of us, in the soul, in this case, in the soul of Luisa Picaretta, but it will be the same for all of us if we let our Lord Jesus do that in us. See how great is the difference between the kingdom of the kings on earth and my kingdom. Kings do not place their own lives at the disposal of each individual, nor do they enclose it in them, nor do they enclose the life of the peoples within themselves, and therefore their reigning is subject to ending, because it is not life that runs between one and the other, but laws and impositions. And where there is no life, there is no love, nor true reigning. On the other hand, the kingdom of my divine will is kingdom of life, the life of the Creator enclosed in the creature. The kingdom of life, the divine will, is the kingdom of life, the life of God living in us, the life of our Lord Jesus living in us. And basically what the Catechism tells us in 521, that we are able to, Jesus is able to repeat everything that he lives in us and we in him. So by being united to his will, by allowing the Lord Jesus to operate in us, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of the divine will, becomes a reality in us, breathing, palpitating, God living in the creature. And isn't that what Adam and Eve were experiencing before the fall? The very presence of God in their souls. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus reveals to Margaret Alacourt to Sister Margaret Alacoque that he wants to be constituted the king of every single heart. And this is what happens when we allow our Lord Jesus to operate, his will to operate in us. He becomes the true king of our souls. He becomes the he's enthroned in our hearts, in us, living, palpitating, breathing at every moment in us. So the kingdom of life becomes a reality, God living in us. Since the life of the creator enclosed in the creature and that of the creature transfuse and identify with the creator. Therefore, the kingdom of my divine will is of unreachable high and nobility. The soul is constituted queen. And do you know what she is made queen of? Queen of sanctity, queen of love, queen of beauty, queen of light, of goodness, of grace, of, in sum, queen of the divine life and of all its qualities. Here, our Lord Jesus uses the word qualities, which is similar to attributes, the attributes of God. So basically what he is telling us that when the divine will operates in us, the soul having the will of God operating in it, the soul becomes queen of basically the attributes of God, because God operates through that soul and God is able to find everything in that single soul. That's why it's important to have that knowledge, and it's at the foundation of understanding this divine science, to be able to understand, and of course through sacred scripture and through the catechism, because if not, we can we run the risk of deviate from what the church tells us, and then we fall into all different things. But if we understand the book of heaven through the eyes of the church, we will see that there is nothing contrary, that everything goes together, everything is intertwined. And the book of heaven help us to understand the revelation in Jesus Christ. So we know that revelation is full in our Lord Jesus Christ, is complete. However, through the book of heaven and through private revelations, like the private revelation given to Sister Margaret Alacoque about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we come to understand, to comprehend what is already revealed in our Lord Jesus. Revelation is complete, is the fullness of revelation of our Lord Jesus, but we haven't understood that revelation. And that's the difference, that through these private revelations, we come to understand, because we haven't understood completely who our Lord Jesus is in its fullness. Yes, private revelation help us to understand the fullness of revelation of our Lord Jesus. That's the way to see these private revelations, that revelation is complete in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no new revelation, the church teaches us. However, we haven't understood completely that fullness. And this is what the church discerns and has discerned throughout all this time, more than 2,000 years, and we continue to understand who Jesus is. You see the history of the church, all the councils of the church, all of them dealing with understanding who Jesus is. And through this private revelation, this particular private revelation of the divine will given to the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we come to understand how the divine nature operated in the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, how the divine will operated through the human will of our Lord Jesus, how his divinity operated through his humanity. So when our Lord Jesus mentions about the knowledge and how important it is he mentions that the knowledge is the foundation. Yeah, we have to have the proper understanding. If not, we will deviate. But if we really understand the Catechism, Sacred Scripture, and the Book of Heaven, we will see that there is nothing that is contrary to the teachings of the Church. And sometimes it is lack of knowledge what causes difficulties, because we do not know one of the three. We have to be able to understand the Book of Heaven through Sacred Scripture and through the Catechism, through the teachings of the Church. But if we do not know the Catechism, then if we hear about the Book of Heaven, we will think this is something different, that it doesn't make sense. So that's why we have to keep in mind that the knowledge about the divine will in general has to be understood all in union with the Catechism, with Sacred Scripture, because there are glimpses of this divine science in the Gospels. And in the teachings of the Church, the Catechism is full of these references. How important it is, and how the final end of man is to enter into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity. And to enter into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity is to enter into the unity of the divine will, the will of God. And isn't that what saints like John of the Cross, seek to accomplish, to attain perfect unity with the will of God? Through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we come to understand that revelation that is already given to us. Through the private revelation given to Sister Faustina about the divine mercy, we come to understand more about the attribute of mercy in God. As he mentions here in this book, in this passage, the soul becomes the queen of these divine qualities, the divine qualities are the divine attributes. What a noble kingdom and full of life is the kingdom of my will. Now see then the great necessity of the knowledge about it. The Lord mentions this, to know this is a necessity. A necessity. They are not only the fundamental part, but the nourishment, the regime, the order, the laws, the beautiful music, the joys, the happiness of my kingdom. Each knowledge possesses a distinct happiness. They are like many divine keys, which will form the beautiful harmony in it. Kind of like what he said in volume 36 that I read, that each knowledge, in volume 36, he tells us each knowledge that is accompanied with the act will produce a new divine science. And here he tells us the knowledge is fundamental. It is a fundamental part. It's the basics. In this case, the knowledge for us is about the Book of Heaven and to understand the divine will in general is fundamental for us even to understand the Our Fathers. To understand that what our Lord Jesus asked for and prayed for, that petition that the church asks every single day, that petition for the divine will to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven, is fundamental for us to understand what we are asking for. And then in the Catechism, the Church tells us that in that petition, we ask our fathers to unite our will to that of his Son so that his life may continue in us. So the Lord Jesus, when he says that this is a fundamental part, we should take that very seriously and we should try to understand in general basically what that petition that is contained in the Our Father is really asking or telling us. What is it that we are really asking for when we pray the Our Fathers? To really reflect upon the Our Father as our Lord Jesus, when you pray, right? Pray like this. And basically to really reflect about the petitions in the Our Fathers. And you can find all of this in the last section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is devoted to prayer. In there, you can find all of the seven petitions contained in the Our Fathers, and you can see that there is nothing contrary to what the Book of Heaven is telling us, but it really helps us to understand. Through the Book of Heaven, we really understand the Our Fathers. So each knowledge is a divine key that will form the beautiful harmony. He continues and he says, this is why I am abounding so much in telling you so many knowledge about my divine fiat, and I require of you great attention and manifest them, in manifesting them. When one of the things that when our Lord is asking Luisa Picaretta to have this great attention, basically is telling her to be aware of, to have conscience, so that you can understand that then can be a free act. Because they are the base and are like a formidable army which will keep the defense and will act as sentries so that my kingdom may be the most beautiful, the holiest one, and the perfect echo of my celestial fatherland. So each truth that we acquire, that we read through the Book of Heaven, each truth that we come to know about the divine will. And I will say whether it's found in the Book of Heaven or in Sacred Scripture, because in Sacred Scripture we know that our Lord Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will. So the Lord says these acts, they form the army. Each truth and each act become an army. But here he's talking about the acts in form with the knowledge of the divine will. Then Jesus kept silent, and then he added, my daughter, when my divine will wants to issue one of its truths or one new act, heaven and earth honor it and listen to it reverently. And creation feels a new divine act flowing within them, which like vital humor, vital humor, embellishes them and renders them twice as happy. They feel as though honored by their very creator, who with his omnipotent fiat communicates to them new knowledge about it. And they await the attitude of that knowledge in the creature, to see the new act of divine volition repeated in the creature, to have the confirmation of that good, as well as the joy and happiness which the new knowledge brings. My will then takes the attitude of fist because it issues from itself a divine life, which, while being directed to one creature, spreads and communicates itself to all creatures. When our Lord Jesus refers here that heaven and earth honor it, when he says heaven, basically it's everybody in heaven, all the blessed, all the multitude of saints, all the blessed. And I will say, even the angels, all heaven, it says, all heaven. And all creation is filled with this divine happiness. It spreads to everybody. So basically, everybody benefits from this. After this, I was continuing my round in the divine will. Whenever we hear that she was continuing her rounds, she's following the acts of creation or, in this particular passage, we see that it's the acts of creation because she will tell us that she went to Eden. So, bringing my life into Eden. Excuse me, bringing myself into Eden so as to be present when the divine majesty, having formed the beautiful statue of Adam, was giving life to it, breathing over it with his omnipotent breath, so that I might glorify my creator in an act so solemn, and love him, adore him, and thank him for a love so excessive and overflowing toward men. What are the divine acts? The divine acts, basically the divine acts is everything that the Blessed Trinity has done for the creature, for love of the creature. Then we see the acts of creation, redemption, and sanctification. So in this particular passage, Luisa Picaretta is following those divine acts, the acts of creation, and she places herself right there at the moment in which Adam is created. He's infused with that omnipotent breath. And what is she doing there? She says, so that I might glorify my creator in the act so solemn. So we understand from this what we have to do to glorify God on behalf, right? To thank, to adore, to glorify him in that specific act of creating Adam. And we can do the same in the act of creating the light, the stars, the moon, the earth, all creation, we can go around. And the same with the acts of redemption, to go and to glorify God, to thank, to adore him, to place our I love you, I adore you, glorify you, I thank you in every single act that our Lord Jesus did, in every single work He preached in every miracle he performed, and so on. So through these writings, we see how Luisa Picarreta was basically following all these acts, living in the divine will, and giving to God that creation that the Catechism tells us that we are supposed to do, to give all creation back to God. And this is the way to do it. So that's a perfect example of how we understand through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, what is taught in the Catechism. We find in the Book of Heaven, we find the how to do that, how to do what we are supposed to do, that even the church has been telling us that we have to do it. But in the Book of Heaven, we find specifically the how. So that's a perfect example, 358, that we are supposed to give all creation back to God. And in the Book of Heaven, we find out how, in what way we can do this. We can fulfill our, basically, as our duty as creatures. Let's continue. And my divine Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, this act of forming and infusing life in man with our omnipotent breath was so tender, touching, and of such great joy for us, that the whole of our divine being overflowed so much with love as to enrapture our divinity, our divine qualities, enrapturing our divine qualities with an enrapturing strength so as to infuse them in men. In breathing over him, we pour everything into him. This is huge. I mentioned that our Lord Jesus in this passage, he talks about qualities. So often we use the church in theology, uses the term attributes. And I explain what they are: mercy, love, wisdom, strength, the omnipotence of God, and so on. What our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picarreta here is that at that moment of creating Adam, and in the act of infusing life in him with the omnipotent breath, was a so tender act, touching with such great joy for us, the Lord says. Such great joy for the Blessed Trinity. Here, when he says us, is referring to the Blessed Trinity. That the whole of our divine being overflows so much with love as to enrapture our divine qualities, our divine attributes, with and enrapturing all the strength as to infuse them in men. So imagine a tsunami of love enrapturing and bringing together the divine qualities of God, which is wisdom, love, mercy, strength, joy, all that God is, that we cannot even mention all of them, because he is, as he says in this passage, immeasurable, unreachable, unsurpassable. So imagine a tsunami of love bringing all that God is And with this, God cannot decrease. He doesn't decrease. So God remains the same. He gives and he remains the same. But a tsunami of love enrapturing all who God is and infusing that in the creatures. In that single omnipotent breath, he says, we pour everything into him. And in blowing into him, we place our supreme being in communication with him. The catechism tells us that in the beginning, there was a total harmony between God and man. Harmony within himself, in harmony with nature, and even harmony among the two of them. So there was harmony between God and his creatures. The Supreme God was able to communicate with his creature and the creature with God, with his Father. And we find in the Book of Heaven that the Lord tells us that as soon as Adam opened his eyes, he exclaimed, thank you. I love you, my God and my Father, the author of my life. It was a correspondence, an immediate correspondence of love, an act of praise, of thanksgiving and adoration to God, to his fathers and our fathers. So that open relation, that open communication, that harmony between God and man was natural. He only had to remain in that union. We place our supreme being in communication with him in such a way as to render him inseparable from us. This act of ours never ceases, because if in the creation of the whole universe, it was our will that constituted itself life of everything, in man we gave not only our fiat, but together with our breath, we gave our very life to him. We gave our very life to him. And this breath of ours has not yet ceased, so as to continue the generation of other creatures, to render them inseparable from us. When we do a work, our love is so great that after it is done once, the attitude remains of doing it always. He continues to create in us with that love that he had for our first parents. He feels the same love in creating us. The difference is that we are not able to correspond to him. We are not able to that communication that Adam enjoy in the state of grace was interrupted through his disobedience by departing from that union in which he was placed. Excuse me, he was placed. Our Lord Jesus has opened the doors, has opened the doors of heaven. The cross becomes the key, the divine key to open the divine communications with God. The cross becomes the divine bridge from which we can go from earth into heaven. It's the way back to our Heavenly Fathers. And through these writings, through the knowledge of these writings given to the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we come to understand how can we let the divine will operate in us so that as Adam in the state of grace was given praise, glory, and adoration to God corresponding to him, and God found his kingdom in the soul of the creature, he can found his heaven in us too. That we may be enraptured with his divine qualities again. Basically, this is what happened in baptism. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, and we receive those divine qualities, those theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. But God is not content until we let him operate in us, through us, so that he can receive the complete glory from the creatures. That's the purpose. The Catechism tells us that we were created to love God, to come to know, to love, and to serve him, and to give, to offer all creation back to him. So until we learn how to let the divine will operate in us, how to let Jesus to repeat his life in us and us in him, then the divine justice will not be satisfied. Because we were created to give praise, glory, honor, and adoration to God. In the preface of the Mass, we hear, is our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. It is the duty of the creatures, and it is for the salvation of the creature that we are supposed to give thanks, always and everywhere. And this is what Adam and Eve were doing before the fall. This is what the Blessed Mother did through all her life. We find this in the book of the Blessed Mother, in the lessons. This is what happened in the humanity of Jesus. This is how the divinity operated in the humanity of Jesus, how the divine nature operated in the humanity of Jesus. So through these writings, we come to understand what is already out there. It's already revealed. Let's continue. In this breath of ours has not yet ceased, so as to continue the generation of other creatures, that's you and me, all of us, to render them inseparable from us. When we do a work, our love is so great that after it is done, once the attitude remains of doing it always. Therefore, the ingratitude of man is great because he denies, despises, offends this life of ours within himself because we do not correspond to him. And just as when one emits one's breath in order to breathe, the breath is emitted and then withdraws so as to be able to breathe again. In the same way, in breathing over him, we give ourselves to him, and in drawing our breath back, we draw men back into ourselves. But not feeling him come into us because his will is not within us, excuse me, because his will is not with us, we feel all the weight of human ingratitude, because here what he's telling us is that because our will, our human will, is not united to the divine will, says we feel all, the Blessed Trinity feels all the weight of the human ingratitude. That what is the opposite of ingratitude? Here we find the answers of what we are supposed to be doing, to always, as and everywhere to give him thanks. We hear this for those of you who go to Mass every single day. These writings should resound in you. As soon as you hear that preface, always and everywhere, it is right and just. It is our duty and our salvation always. It is the duty of the creature always and everywhere to give thanks. That gratitude. We even see this in the Gospels. Our Lord Jesus complains that only one leper came. Out of 10, only one came to say thank you. So the human ingratitude. So through this way of living, with every single act that is accompanied with the knowledge, then it becomes a free act, an informed act, gives to God the glory, the honor, the adoration that he received from Adam before the fall. And this is why we call you. The Lord Jesus tells Blessed Picaretta, and this is why we call you, to give you our incessant act, so that as we draw it back in order to issue it again, we may feel you coming to ourselves to receive the fullness of our will in the solemn act of issuing our regenerative breath to generate the creatures. The divine will has the power to create, to regenerate, the regenerative power of the divine will to make things anew. So by issuing this breath, omnipotent breath, he may be able to regenerate in us creatures that breath in each one of us, that we may be infused, feel with this light that we see at the beginning of this passage. Our Lord Jesus is placing this light in the hands, in the eyes, in the ears, in the heart of that little girl that is the soul of Luisa. So that through this knowledge of the Book of Heaven, we know that through this knowledge of the Book of Heaven, we understand also Sacred Scripture. We understand the teachings of the Church. We come to see that the Kingdom of Heaven that our Lord Jesus is proclaiming in the Bible, in the Gospels, is the Kingdom of the Divine Will that he wanted for all of us when he prayed the Our Father, that he doesn't want only this kingdom to be in heaven, but he wants it in us right here. And that's why he prayed for it in the Our Father. So my brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful passage. It is so filled with really light. My prayer for all of you is that you may come to know this divine science, that you may be filled with this light, as Luisa Picaretta is showing us in this vision, that as she was filled, that little girl, which our Lord Jesus says is the soul of Luisa, that all of us may be also be filled with that light, that may our Lord Jesus may take that light. May he place it in our eyes, in our ears, in our heart, in our hands, in our feet, that we may be healed, strengthened, filled with that divine joy that only comes from him, with that divine peace, that whatever we are going through, whether it is illnesses, problems, difficulties, whatever it is, that we may be filled with that divine light, with that divine joy. This is my prayer for you, that you may be able to grow in the knowledge and understanding of this divine science, that you may come to really know it, to love it, that you may possess it. And one day you may be able to see it in eternal life. With this, we finish. Let us pray to the Blessed Mother, and let us ask her that through her intercession, we may receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our soul, and that we may be filled with his own breath and light. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Kingdom of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.